Amen. What a blessing, brother, you've been to us today. God, let's give him another hand. Amen. What a blessing. I think it's really neat that God just blessed us to have him with us today, because we've got the ladies away who make up a lot of the choir, and we've got others who are away for other trips and sickness. And one reason I'm preaching today is because you've probably heard about Cleo and Nita. Nita is worse off, so he could not be our Gideon speaker today. So be much in prayer for Cleo and Nita. They're facing a lot of serious things. She's got a lot going on. In fact, today will be a determining factor in that. So remember her. Remember Miss Christine Gonia. She is at Westfield Rehab, but she said she didn't know if she'd ever go back to her home due to her illness, but she's doing better, so keep her in our prayers. Pray for Mr. Ray. He's here today. He's feeling better. And we got a lot of folks who still are battling the viruses and the colds and the flus, so keep them in your prayer. So this is the way God, Cleo called me late Friday night, and God really began to speak to my heart about being in the presence of the Lord. I'm dealing with that. So I'm preaching about Billy Graham today. How about that? I'm preaching Billy Graham in the presence of God. Because in a quote of his, he said when he died, that's where he would be, in the presence of God. So take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 57, one verse. Isaiah 57, verse 15. And I'm going to give you some quotes today, some great quotes from Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, I believe there are three things that stand out right now about Billy Graham. And before we read the scripture, and I want you young folks to especially pay attention to this, God used this man mightily to reach a lot of young people. And in fact, the last crusade that I was a part of was the one in Charlotte, and we had over 100,000 youth show up for that crusade. On an average, there was around 73,000-74,000 every night. And what an honor that was. And by the way, there never has been a Billy Graham crusade that there was not 5 years of prayer put into it. So if you want to know why all those people got saved, it wasn't so much the preaching as it was the praying. Amen. Honestly, there was a lot of prayer. All right, if you have your place, Isaiah 57, verse 15, let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I thought it was most fitting that Cleo was going to try to wrap up our Bible emphasis this month by getting God's word out with the Gideon ministry, but we'll have him back soon. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That's a powerful statement. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word is alive, that it changes lives. And Father, I'm praying a special prayer today that in light of the death of Dr. Billy Graham, that there would be a great awakening in our nation. For many people now are thinking about when they received Christ at a Billy Graham crusade, and there were millions of people over the years that have come to Christ through these crusades. There's a lot of people thinking about their life right now. And as I think about Billy Graham, I think most of all that he was a man of integrity, a man who had great character, and a man who set an example for all of us. God, speak to our hearts today about not only Billy Graham, but about who we are, and that God, we too would be a light in this dark, dark world. The world's getting darker, but I pray that we would get lighter, and your light would so shine that there would be that a lost and dark world will come to Christ. Use us, God. Use the young people. That God, we will see a great awakening, even this week, as people remember Billy Graham, as he is on the thoughts of all, not just Americans, but literally the whole world has got this man on their mind. Speak to our hearts today as we think. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm going to read this one quote to you, and then I'm going to show you I've got two clips, and this first one, I really wanted you to hear what Billy Graham said, at the opening of the Billy Graham Library. And by the way, I heard him say this. He said the library was too much Billy and not enough God. And he made them change a number of things about the Billy Graham Library before it opened. But I want you to especially pay attention to what he said in this video at the library after the presidents had what they had to say about Billy Graham. But here's the quote I want you to really let sink in. And one reason this message was put on my heart, here's Billy Graham. He said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now." Listen to what he said. "I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." And you know, there's nothing better than that. To know that you're going to go when you die into the presence of God. Now, God's present with us today. And I want you to hear and pay close attention to what he says. And I might have to cut it short a little bit. All depends. But I want you to watch this video. This is to remember him and also the words he said at the Billy Graham Library at that opening. Okay?
"Millions of searching for God through religion and not finding it.
Thank you.
You've got to know Christ for yourself. And when you come to know Christ for yourself, there's a peace and a fulfillment. And life takes on a purpose and there's a sense of forgiveness of your sins. And there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory."
"I despise all this attention on me. I wish we could publicize the meetings in some way in which my name were not used. I'm not trying to bring people to myself, nor am I trying to interest people in me. But I know that God has sent me out as a warrior on the five continents to preach the gospel, and I must continue until he gives the signal that I'm to stop."
I was the chairman of the 1996 crusade, which was held here in Charlotte at the Panther Stadium, which was very, very successful, and obviously it was like Billy Graham was coming home. We averaged about 73,000 people a night, and on the youth night there were well over 100,000 people there. They had to set up big screens outside of the stadium, but it turned out to be a very, very successful crusade, probably the most successful crusade, I guess, that's ever been held in the United States for Billy Graham.
"You'll never be able to work your way to heaven. You have to come by faith in Christ, and you come by the grace of God. Grace means it's something you don't deserve, you can't work for. You come by faith in Him. That's how I came, by simple childlike faith."
He never tried to influence, I don't think, any of the presidents. They would always call him. He would never call to see them. They just always wanted to talk with him because I think he was so helpful to them in trying to give them a foundation on which they had to make critical decisions that affected our country every day. The three presidents that were here for the dedication all delivered a message of their respect for him and how much they admired him as a minister of the gospel.
"I feel like I've been attending my own funeral."
"I do not believe that any man can solve the problems of life without Jesus Christ. There are tremendous marital problems. There are physical problems. There are financial problems. There are problems of sin and habit that cannot be solved outside the person of our Lord Jesus Christ."
through all his stadium crusades and all his television work, and it was this large, magnificent ministry that he had through the years. But on the other hand, I also saw the love affair that he had with his wife, Ruth, and the love that he had for his family. She was this absolutely charismatic, statuesque, beautiful person, both in her appearance as well as her spirituality. And it was very poignant to see her pass before him and to see both that personal side of Billy as a man as well as that larger side of Billy as a minister. And it was fascinating to see that up close over the period of a decade or more.
Probably one of his first crusades, and also I was a nurse at the hospital, and we were asked to sing in the choir there. And after this was over, I wanted to talk with Billy Graham. I wanted to go shake his hand and tell him how much he meant to me, because I was a new Christian at the time. And he added so much to me. Helped me in my Christian life as I began it. And now I'm teaching Bible study. And also I love to give out tracts and witness to people. And I believe Billy Graham had a large part in my life. And I thank God for him.
Somebody's praying.
Now Jesus was a man. He was human. He was not a white man. He was not a black man. He came from that part of the world that touches Africa and Asia and Europe, and he probably had a brown skin. Christianity is not a white man's religion, and don't let anybody ever tell you that it's white or black. Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world.
Well, amen. Isn't that powerful? I just believe you and I ought to put someone up like that and say, you know, what a man of integrity, what a great example for us all. Billy Graham had a lot of stories to tell, and one that I like that really did happen in his life. He was in this area, and he was preaching a crusade, and he had never been in the area, and he was walking down the sidewalk looking for the post office. And he came across this young man, and he asked this young man, he said, "Young man, do you know where the post office is?" And the young boy told him, said, "Yes, sir, I'll show you where the post office is." Well, Billy Graham went on to tell him, he said, "Well, I'm preaching a crusade here in your area, and I'd like to invite you, because tonight I'm going to tell everyone how to get to heaven." He said, "I hope you'll come." And the young man said, "Well, I probably won't come." And Billy Graham asked him, said, "Why will you not come?" He said, "Well, sir, you don't even know how to get to the post office, less more get to heaven." So, how things like that happen to you keeps you humble. And that's what I want to talk about today. Three things that I believe stood out about Billy Graham's life. And number one, Billy Graham in the presence of God, I want to talk about heaven for a moment. Heaven is the place of God's special presence. We've been talking about the presence of God. It is the beginning of our happiness to have His presence with us here, and it will be the consummation of it forever with Him in the world to come. It's interesting what the scriptures say about heaven. Listen to what the psalmist had in his view. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And then in other places, listen, I love these little tidbits of scripture. It says this, appearing in God's presence, standing before Him, bowing before His throne, abiding in His tabernacle, dwelling in the house, in His house forever, beholding His face, being forever with the Lord, seeing the King in His beauty, sitting with Christ on His throne. I thought all of those were great descriptions of what heaven would be like. Here's another great quote from Billy Graham. "Do I fear death? No. I look forward to death," he said. "And with great anticipation, I am looking forward to seeing God face to face. And that could happen any day now. I'll be very happy to get out of this body into the new world that has been prepared. It'll be a feeling of tremendous joy and relief and rest, he said. The Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man what God has in store for us in the future life. That's one of Billy Graham's great quotes. And you know, you can Google all these great quotes. They're wonderful to read. But I want to talk about heaven for just a moment. Number one, it's a prepared place. A prepared place for prepared people. You know, regardless of who Billy Graham was, had he not trusted Christ as his Savior, there'd be no heaven for Billy Graham. So heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The Bible says in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a verse. Notice what he says, where I am. God is saying, I am at a place. Jesus, when he ascended back to the Father, he went to a place. There is literally a place called heaven. It's a place where the glory and power of God are set forth. Jesus is there now. The Bible tells us he is seated on the right hand of the throne of God in Hebrews 8:1 of his majesty in the heavens. And when Jesus went away, he went into a place. Therefore, we are not just sort of floating around out there somewhere in outer space when we pass away. We're not preaching some unfounded hope that makes dying easier and deceives us at the last. There literally is a place. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we can preach about heaven. It's in the Bible. Revelation says there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more troubles. I believe there literally is a place called heaven. It's a prepared place. It's a promised place. Verse 15, it says, that inhabiteth eternity. Now what that means is all eternity is in his hands. And heaven is about eternity. God is without a beginning and an end. God has never broke a promise. John 14:3 says, and I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again. He's saying, I'm going to come again. God made a promise to us. Amen? And the promise is, I'm going to come again. And here's what he said, and I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know if that lights your fire. I don't know if that rings your bell, but it lights my fire and rings my bell. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If this is all there is to life, we're all disappointed. I'm thankful there's another life. And whether you believe it or not, God has promised that there is a place called heaven. And he said, you will go there if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Here's another great quote from Billy Graham. God is more interested in your future in you than you are. So interested that he's prepared a place for you. So interested he has promised a place for you. But then third of all, it's a perfect place. Heaven is perfect because God is perfect. He created heaven. Did you know earth was perfect when God created earth? Did you know the first man and the first woman were perfect? Because God created them. God's never created imperfection. Sin has distorted everything. Sin destroys everything. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The presence of God in heaven is a fixed and abiding presence. For he shall dwell among them, not as he frequently does now, like a wayfaring man who only turns aside for the night, but he will be always in our eye. But we shall be ever with the Lord and shall always behold his face. And we will be able to look upon our Father in heaven. Someone said, the heaven of heaven is that God is there, and the hell of hell is that God is not there. Are y'all listening to me? The heaven of heaven is that God is there, and the hell of hell is that God's not there. Someone said, where is heaven? Well, it's where God is. Amen? You want to be concerned about where heaven is. Where is God? The heaven of heaven, think about it, that God has prepared a perfect place for you and I. A wonderful display of who God is. In His wisdom, His power, His holiness, His justice, His goodness, His mercy, with all of His attributes, which constitutes Him as such a great, mighty God. It will be worth it all, the old song says. Listen to me carefully. Don't let nothing distract you. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race, church. We will see Christ. Amen? Oh, man, that lights my fire. One day I'm going to see Jesus. And listen, we're closer than we think. I personally believe we're going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, now this is what I believe, right now, as I speak, I believe God is going to pour out His Spirit. I really believe before He comes back, there's going to be a pouring out of His Spirit. And I base that on several scriptures in Revelation. I believe God's going to give mankind one more chance. And there's going to, the gospel net's going to be brought out. Could it be this week that in the death of Billy Graham, more people are talking about their life and their relationship and their testimony? In closing, in just a minute, I'm going to show you another video that stirred my heart by Kathy Lee Guilford. Did you see that? That was awesome. I mean, she just nailed it about how that through the Billy Graham ministry, she came to Christ, her husband came to Christ, her mother came to Christ, her sister came to Christ. Millions of people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of this ministry. Surely at Gord Springs, we should take a moment and honor that and say, surely we should follow this example. Sherry heard this week, and I asked her to write down the man's name. I know who he is, Eric Moore. He is over Life and Liberty. Is that Ethics Ministry for the Southern Baptist Convention? Here's what he said. Billy Graham is compared to the Apostle Paul. Wow, what a statement. I would compare him to the Apostle Paul. God certainly has you. We've had an Apostle Paul in our day. And then second of all, I want to give you the word holiness. Now, I want to give you this word because I'm talking about the presence of God. And I'm talking about what it means to go to heaven. And here's the thing. And I want you to pay close attention to this. Because you and I know that we are not holier than thou. And we all know that we lack in this area. But I'm going to tell you very clearly now that heaven is a holy place. And the only way you're going to enter heaven is for you to be holy. And I've got to explain that to you. Notice what he says in verse 15. Whose name is holy. Whose name is holy. Now, brother, I enjoyed your music today, and I love music. You know, I'm just one of these preachers that if it lifts up Jesus, I get excited about it. You know, I've just never got hung up with churches' hang-ups about their preferences with music. I've just never got hung up with it. I love the old songs, I love the new songs, and I love everything in between. If it lifts up Jesus, I mean, I love string instruments. I'd like to keep you up here, okay? I mean, hey, you played all three of those things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You got all three of them together. I like that. I love music. It is a gift from God that captures and carries that which cannot be adequately expressed by words. Music sets forth what is important to us and what moves us and what changes us, what we long for. So, do you know what the first recorded song in the Bible is about? I will give you a hint. The last song recorded in the Bible is about the same thing. The first song in Scripture appears in Exodus 15. The last song appears in Revelation 15. And both have as their shared focus the holiness of God. Isn't that interesting? And God demolished any notion that Egypt's false gods were anything other than the projections of the man who worshiped them. After God delivered over 1 million Israelites out of slavery from the grip of Egypt through 10 awesome plagues and a parted Red Sea, Moses led the whole nation in a song celebrating God's holiness. Here it is. Would y'all like to hear the song? No? Preacher, we don't want you to sing it. All right, good. I'll read it. One verse captures the gist of the entire song. Listen to this powerful verse. Exodus 15:11. Lord, who is like you among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And would you like to hear the last song? Don't worry, I won't sing that one either. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thy only are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. Hebrews 12:14 reads, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And Isaiah 40:25, God himself issues the challenge. Who will you compare me to? Or who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. And we must answer, there is no comparison. God is not just a supersized version of you or me. He is transcendent. He is separate. He's in a class by himself. He is subject to nothing. He answers to no one. This is who our holy God is. I'm caught red-handed. You're caught red-handed. Our sin not only makes us totally incompatible with a thrice holy God, it makes us guilty of treason. We have broken the law. We've defiled his commandments. We've fallen short of his glory. We've transgressed in forbidden territory, and we've missed the bullseye of perfection required by a holy God. Here's another great quote of Billy Graham. We have confused liberty with license. We are paying the awful price. We are a society posed on the brink of self-destruction. So what is the answer to holiness, you ask? Well, the question is not what is the answer, but who is the answer? Number one, Jesus is the answer. Whose name is holy, it says in verse 15. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ have suffered for sins once and for all, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, that he might bring you to God after being put to death in the fleshly realm, being made alive in the spiritual realm. So Jesus is God's answer. We couldn't go to God because we sinned. So God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus paid our sin debt. He satisfied a holy God. Look up here carefully. Folks, without Jesus, you can't be saved. Without Jesus, you will never be right with God. And folks, there are some folks today who think they can make it without God. And they think they're going to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to my Father but by me. Jesus is the answer. And then second of all, justification is the atonement. Let me explain it to you. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. He is high and holy. Where is Jesus right now? Sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. In Christian theology, justification is God's act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin, while at the same time making a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. And that's what I mean by justification is the atonement. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't brag about anything you've done, but boy, you sure can brag about what Jesus did. And justification means what Jesus did. He took care of your sin debt so much so, it's as just as you never sinned. He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Why don't you believe that? Why don't you forgive yourself? Why do you walk around with such guilt and shame when Jesus said, I'll take your guilt, I'll take your shame, I'll take your hell? He did it all for you, and he's covered you with his blood. And then Jesus is the assurance. Verse 15 says, we're with him. God is with us. He's for us, and he's not against us. We have the full assurance that because he lives, we live also. I love this scripture, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then last of all, and what I've been trying to describe today is I've felt in my heart about Billy Graham. He's in heaven. I believe that. You believe that? I really believe this man's in heaven right now as I speak. I believe this man claimed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ And because Jesus lives, Billy Graham said, I'll be more alive than ever. He said, don't you tell him I'm dead. Tell him I've just changed addresses and I'm in his presence. I tell you, I want us to have that kind of assurance today because of Jesus. Boy, the devil beats us up. He don't want us to walk around with any confidence and any assurance of who and what we are in Jesus Christ. But the last thing is really on my heart today to share with you, and I personally would like to preach to me right now as I preach to you. The word is humility. I really believe that God uses people who will humble themselves. God hates pride. And if there's one sermon that I heard Billy Graham preach, and I had the privilege of working with him in three crusades, he preached against pride, I think, more than anything else. You know why? Because I have learned, and certainly this week has been a great reminder, Billy Graham was a humble man in many ways. Billy Graham died at age of 99. He was known for his charismatic ways, but he said, I despise all the attention on me. This is a quote. I'm not trying to bring people to myself, but I know that God has sent me out as a warrior. When the Billy Graham Library was built, and Billy saw it, as I mentioned earlier, it really bothered him because he said, I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about him. And I really believe that was his heart's desire. Number one, under the word humility, write anointed of God. I believe that Billy Graham was anointed of God. I believe God put something on this man. I really do. Notice what it says in the latter part of verse 15. With him also that is a contrite, that means broken, and humble spirit. Contrite is the Hebrew word daka. It applies to be crushed. But depending on the context of its meaning, it includes to be crumbled or to be bruised, literally or figuratively. It is used to describe those who are devastated by an action. The crushing here refers to their being made powerless or weak. Now, I don't see anybody lined up for this. No one likes to be broken. In fact, we respond, or actually we react. When someone says something to us that we don't like, we defend ourselves, right? We stand up for ourselves. More so than ever before in the history of man, I believe man is about self. That's where we are in our society. There's a problem with self. God don't put his anointing when you're full of yourself. No, he only puts the anointing of his spirit on those who are willing to humble themselves and are broken. And God uses, I believe, a broken person. The word here literally means to be crushed in such a way that, I was reading this, that it's a powder. And I thought about how that man came from the dust of the earth. And what if God was to see us humbling ourselves in such a fashion that we were just like that dust in his hand? And as I said last Sunday, or Sunday before last, that he would mold and make us and shape us into his image. That is what we all need. For when I am weak, he is strong. The best leader is a servant leader. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. I only do the things I see my Father doing. I don't speak of my own words. I only speak those words that my Father says. In other words, he was anointed of God. Here's another great quote by Billy Graham. I'm almost through. God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. I believe a humble man knows how to give as God has blessed him. Billy Graham was, I believe, anointed of God. Also, and this was something he was well known for, he was an ambassador of God, an ambassador for God. What does that mean? I believe to a lost and dying world, God called this man to be his ambassador, to be his representative, to go throughout the world and literally to fulfill the Great Commission because Billy Graham was used of God. Now, Billy Graham will tell you, talking about humility, he will tell you it was never about him because he had thousands behind him. And by the way, I was a part of that prayer team and I drove to Charlotte every week for 5 years to pray for the Charlotte Crusade. The success of that crusade, I believe, was in the prayers of God's people. And Billy Graham would be the first to tell you that. I'll never forget that crusade, something that really stands out in my mind. I was down there on the football field. I was to organize counselors, and I was standing there, and a man ran out on the football field in the middle of Billy Graham's sermon. and began to say he's a false prophet. I heard what the man said. He's a false prophet. He's a liar. He's a cheat. No doubt Billy Graham ran into some wackos or whatever. I don't know what you call them. I'll never forget. I didn't know there was so much security and so many police. Man, they swamped that guy. There were about 50 policemen around that guy. All of a sudden, everybody was there, and I witnessed this. And Billy Graham stopped his sermon. Thousands of people on television and there in that Panther Stadium. And he said, wait just a minute. Sir, we're not going to be pressing any charges against you. God loves you, and Jesus died for you. I thought that said more than the whole sermon. He put it into action. You know, you can preach a sermon. It's better to put it in action. Billy Graham was God's man in action. I saw it that time, but I'm literally seeing it in this ministry of that this organization has. And literally, there are thousands of people that are standing behind that ministry. It takes a lot of people. Billy Graham was known as God's ambassador to the world. He preached to more people than any man who ever lived. He preached to 215 million people in 185 countries. He preached to more people than the Apostle Paul, than Jesus Christ himself. And that man, Billy Graham, was in our lifetime. Last thing, and I'm done, he's accepted of God. You say, where do you see that? But Billy Graham was all about revival. He was all about a great awakening. And it says in the latter part of verse 15, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Has your heart been broken for the souls of lost men? I believe Billy Graham had a broken heart for the souls of lost people. And if there's a burden I have for Gord Springs Baptist Church, and that is that we would become broken for lost people, and we would have a sense of urgency. Because folks, look up here. Time is running out. Time is running out. Sin, sorrow, shame, stress, self, and so on can all be the symptoms of a broken heart. Jesus loves the sinner. He loves the brokenhearted. He is the answer for man's sin problem. Jesus humbled himself on the cross in submission to his Father's perfect plan for redemption. God accepted the finished work of his Son on the cross. Now, if you are to be accepted of God, you must submit to his perfect plan of salvation. You too must accept his Son as your Lord and Savior. And because Billy Graham was that man who said, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he accepted Christ as a Savior, I believe with open arms, the Father said, welcome home. Welcome home, my son. You have been faithful to me. Welcome home. I know he missed his dear wife, Ruth. And I know there's no marriage in heaven, but I'll tell you what, you can differ it with me. It's fine. I won't fall out with you. But I believe we're going to know each other in heaven. And I base that on Scripture. In my finite mind, I can know you here. And there's a lot of preachers that disagree with this. But I just believe that one of the pleasures of this life is that we can get to know each other. We know people. And if I can know you on this place, and just as much as I believe there's a place called Gord Springs Baptist Church at 4575 Ray Road, Spring Lake, North Carolina, I believe there's an address called heaven. And I like what Billy Graham said. I've just changed addresses. Can you do that? Yes. You will be accepted of God in Jesus Christ. All you got to understand is that he is the answer. Amen? You receive him today. Let's watch this last video, and if this don't change your heart, nothing will. This really moved me. I love what she said about leading people to Christ. I'm going to use this to go into our invitation, and we had already picked out the invitation today, just as I am. Billy Graham used one invitational song, and we're going to sing that today. I want you to watch this video. It'll bless your heart.
Kathy Lee Gifford joins me now. She was a close friend of Billy Graham. Kathy, great to see you.
Still am.
What's your reaction? What are you thinking about today?
They came in to tell me I was in makeup over across the street, and I just immediately just put up my hands and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because he has been lingering and languishing. Last time I saw him was 4 years ago at his 95th birthday party. And Frank was alive then, too, and we went down there. And I was sitting with his granddaughter at a table and hadn't seen him, and he was quite frail. But I knew it, in my heart it would be the last time I'd see him. So I said to her, I said, can I go over and just tell your grandfather thank you because my whole family came to faith in Jesus through the Billy Graham organization.
Is that right?
Yes, and I personally did, going to the first movie that the Billy Graham organization ever put out. It was called The Restless Ones. And it's like God met me in my heart right where I lived. I wanted to be an actress. So where does God meet me? In a movie theater. And at that time, he took a lot of flack for even making a movie.
See, I find this so interesting because you have the same philosophy as he did, which he used to preach about the joy
absolutely.
Of belief.
Absolutely.
That sounds like you.
And what just happened for Billy happened for my husband, happened for my mother, for my father. Everybody that dies in Christ goes immediately into the arms of Christ for eternity. That is the hope of the Christian faith. Yes, it gives us the tools we need to live in the world today while we're alive. But that's why I could hold my dead husband in my arms and rejoice, because I knew where he was. And it gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And if we've ever needed peace in this world, we need it now, right? And somebody says to me, why are you so bold about your faith? And I just look at everybody's beautiful face right now. You too. I said, why are you so bold about your faith? And I said, you know what? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it quiet? Or would you hold it and keep it a secret? And I always say, I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And he has a name, and it's Jesus. And if you just receive, I talked somebody off a cliff this morning on Twitter at 4:30 this morning, because he says, how do I know your Jesus? How can I get to know your Jesus? And I feel so privileged to be able to share just the good news. Gospel means good news. It's good news. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God. They're so different. They're so different. We don't need more religion. We need more Jesus. But that night at his birthday party, he was very, very sort of, his eyes were. And I went over to her and I said, Billy. He insisted everybody call him Billy. He said, Billy, Billy. And I could see sort of he was doing this and he said, I said, Billy, it's Kathy Lee. And he goes, oh, Kathy Lee, I love you. I was so grateful. The only time he ever did a secular television show that wasn't news was my first Christmas special.
Is that right?
Yep. And he came to my house in Greenwich, Connecticut. And all I wanted him to do was sit in front of the fire and read the book of Luke to my children. Cass was 1.5 and Cody was 4.5 or something like that. I don't know. And he did. And all of their little friends were there. It's one of my great, great memories. But before that happened, he got there and we weren't quite ready to shoot his scenes. So I said, and this was early in our relationship, I said, Dr. Graham. And he goes, oh, no, you got to call me Billy. We can't be friends unless you call me Billy. I'd met him before, but this was an intimate, he's in my home. Yeah. This is one of those pinch me things, you know. My mother and my sister both came to know the Lord watching one of his crusades on television. Oh. I came home one night and I see my mother and my sister on their knees sobbing their eyes out. And I'm thinking, who died? No, it was who was born.
Well, that's the thing, because I feel like we don't, obviously his son Franklin continues, but
yes.
Billy was one of a kind.
He was one of a kind, and let me give you an example of that. When I said to him, okay, Billy, what can we get you anything? Frank and I were standing there. He said, we'll get you anything you'd like before we shoot. And he goes, anything?
I don't, where's this going?
I know. And we said, anything. He goes, could I have a Big Mac? Frank goes, I'm going to go get you 10 Big Macs. He went around the corner to our little local McDonald's and came back with about 100 Big Macs for everybody.
Aww.
Billy went upstairs, sat there happily munching on Big Macs until he came down and shared the gospel again. I mean, we're all just human.
When I look back at what he preached, from after 9/11, saying the lesson here is about our need for one another. That's the lesson in 9/11, our need for each other.
Yes.
And then even after the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal, Bill Clinton was quoted as saying that Billy Graham had said to him, or that his lesson in having spoken with Billy Graham about it was that he took sin seriously, but he took redemption seriously,
yes,
too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you understand that. And
I sure do.
That's what you say. I mean, I feel like, because I'll tell you, you and I have been having an ongoing discussion about faith and connection with God. And I feel like, who is there today who has his kind of messaging, that uplifting, joyful,
faithful. Help me get reconnected. Right. Don't shame me. Don't guilt me.
Don't make me feel worse than I already feel.
Someone who's nonpartisan, someone who's full of love, someone who's not covered in scandal, not trying to rip anybody off, you know? There aren't that many Billy Grahams out there.
There are so many people of faith, though, that and sincere faith, and many, many, many in our pulpits, but many, many, many just, it might be your plumber. It might be, God has his people everywhere. And use this opportunity to look into your own heart. Every one of us should, and say, do I have a malignancy of my soul? Where's the doctor? Well, the good news is the doctor is in. Mm-hmm. And he conquered death for all time for every one of us. And it's free. It's probably the only thing in this whole world we live in that's completely free. Mm-hmm. This broken man on Twitter this morning said, you know, I've disappointed everybody. I'm a mess. I'm a this, I'm a that. I said, I'm a burden to everybody. And I said, you're not a burden to God and you're not a burden to me. And God loves you. Just ask him into your heart and your life will change.
It can be your plumber. It can be your coworker.
Love you, Megan.
Thank you for being
here. And say a prayer for the Graham family today. They're going to be great. They're rejoicing. So thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Thanks for having me, sweetie.
You bet. We'll be right back.
And that's on national television, a celebrity talking about what it means to know Jesus. Now, we're just plain country folks. Why aren't we talking about Jesus? If you have the answer to cancer, wouldn't you go out and tell other people? Well, you've got the answer to cancer. You do. You do. It's a sin. So let's go out and tell others about Jesus. This invitation is an important invitation. And I know there's been some moving around. I don't know what's going on. But right now, I'm going to ask everybody to be very reverent. This is God's time. This is the invitation time. And there's nothing more important here in this church right now if someone who needs to trust Christ can have that opportunity. There's nothing more important that we've done this morning than this invitation. And so I'm going to ask you today, if you don't have the full assurance that Jesus Christ lives in your heart, I can't think of a better day to make sure that you know Jesus as Savior than today. You might think, well, I don't need the Lord. But one day you'll stand before a holy God and you will eat those words. You're going to be shocked when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, Lord, I was a member of Gorge Springs. That's not getting you into heaven. Well, I was baptized. I attended church all my life. Jesus is the answer, folks. Amen. And if you don't trust him as your Savior, there's no way you can stand before a holy God. Do you understand what I mean by that? That he is the propitiation for our sin. He's the one that took the blame. He took the shame. He took the guilt. And by the way, some of you who name the name of Christ, you're still living with some of that past. You need to let it go. It's forgiven. Now forgive yourself. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray your Holy Spirit now do his work. I pray for the anointing of God to be in this church today. And I pray for the anointing of God to be all over this world this week as people remember the death of this dear saint. Lord, what a man of God. What an example. What a life. And I pray today that our hearts have been strangely moved by the Holy Spirit, that this man sets an example. And as this Eric Moore said, that he was an Apostle Paul in our day and time. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Billy Graham. And thank you that his heart was always to point people to the Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.